Hello and welcome to Publish Me, a monthly podcast series of the AS21 Podcast Network, as we explore the publishing process of the fantasy epic, The Will of the Magi. I'm your host, Keith F. Shelton, publisher of AS21 Media, and here to join me as always is...
Hello everyone, this is Paul Dickinson Russell, the author of The Will of the Magi. For those of you starting school, I hope school is going well, and I hope everyone is either not drowning with all the rain and not cooking with all the heat. Good luck.
And I'm Rob Ganner, cover artist for The Will of the Magi and design consultant for AOS21 Media, and I'm just happy to be upright and breathing.
Do you have AC yet, or still no?
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's September, it's and bad. It's been 100 degree days, and it's been bad.
If you lived closer, I would have put you in contact with a friend of mine. They were selling 2 air conditioners, each for $25.
No, we have them. We just haven't put them in the windows because we're stubborn. Because they weigh like 100 pounds. It's hard.
This is, you know, you buy some beer, you buy some pizza, you find some people, you get them to do the work for you. It's very cheap. It costs like 2 or 3 pies and a 24-pack.
Nice.
Yeah, well, we got plenty of fans, and I got an ice pack on my shoulder now, which is actually helping a lot.
Yeah. Paul, how come anytime you start to say it, I always hear like you say, well, I know a guy.
I mean, from Jersey. Yeah.
From Jersey, of course he knows a guy.
I know a guy, just don't ask too many questions, alright?
Yeah.
And if you ask questions, I got some guys...
I know another guy.
It's Jimmy the Fish, Jimmy the Squirrel, Jimmy Two Fingers. You know, I got some guys, I know some people. You ask too many questions, you're going to start sleeping with the fishes, okay? Yeah. With some very heavy shoes.
Where did it come from? It fell off a truck. No more questions. That's it.
Do you have a guy who gets you some guys and his name is also Guy?
This is Jersey.
Yeah. Seriously, the wedding I went to up in New York, I was introduced to a guy named Guy. Pretty cool guy.
This is Jersey. We do all of it. And anyone who is listening and you're from Jersey and you don't live this life, you're not true Jersey.
No, you're in the Philly suburbs.
Yeah, you're South Jersey and you don't count.
Shots fired.
What's up?
He promised he would do some shooting, and he did.
Yep, there you go.
I fired shots one way or another. Let me get my whiskey, and I'll take some shots. Boom! I have to stop now. Someone's going to smack me.
Oh, it's a Friday night, people, and it's getting late, and we're recording on the day that this episode was supposed to be released, so maybe we're just a little bit loopy. And it's pouring down rain, and it's extremely hot, and just, wow. Yeah, just a lot going on. So, speaking of going on, Paul, what's going on with the editing of The Will of the Magi?
Will of the Magi is going strong. I got another chapter back from Corey on Wednesday, and I sent it back to him on Thursday. So, editing is going strong. We're doing well. We are getting to the point where Corey has more questions instead of just straight grammatical fixings, you know, because if it's grammar, I just say, okay. Me and grammar, as like I tell people, I use the English language creatively, not correctly. I was a creative writing major, not a correct writing major.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. You know, I make up words and it sticks. But now the questions are much more in depth. Luckily, I have almost all the answers. If I don't have the answers, I make them up.
Okay. It worked for J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Exactly. And look at how well she did.
Absolutely.
And if we do that well here, I'll help everyone out.
I was reading a thing yesterday of apparently someone was interviewing Alfonso Cuarón, and he was talking about how he decided to direct the third Harry Potter movie. Alfonso Cuarón went to a friend of his to get his advice on it because he didn't want to do it. So he went to his buddy Guillermo del Toro. And he's saying, and he started to joke about this, you know, this kid wizard. And Guillermo goes, oh, no. Have you read the books? And Alfonso, no. He goes, stop talking right now. Go to the store. Buy all the books. You read the books. You're going to want to do this f***ing movie.
Oh.
And so, you know, Alfonso went to the store. At that time, four of the books were out. So he bought all four. Mm-hmm. He read all four in a weekend. And then on Monday, he called and said, I want to do this f***ing movie.
And if he hadn't had that reaction, he would have been regretting it by this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But apparently, no one talks smack about Harry Potter around Guillermo del Toro.
I would have loved to see the Guillermo del Toro version of the Harry Potter movies.
Oh my god, yes.
That would be amazing.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh.
Ooh, here's an idea.
Okay.
Let's have him do The Cursed Child.
Ooh.
As movies.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
I could see that.
Or, my personal favorite, I saw a fan fiction idea of the Dursleys having two daughters. This is not the Dursleys. This is Dudley and his wife.
Oh, okay.
So him and his wife have two girls, and the oldest one gets an owl. So he calls up his uncle. He calls up his, you know,
his cousin.
You know, the girl's uncle is like, can you help us out? So the whole family then goes to the new Weasley's house. They get introduced to everything. The oldest daughter goes off. The youngest daughter does not get her owl.
Oh.
But
she's, because of everyone who's involved, she gets to go there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And she then creates watches, iPhones, computers, all these things that work around the magic.
Okay.
So you can use them on the castle grounds.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's true, because nobody has a cell phone there, and it really would help.
So you bring all this stuff, all of the modern technology, into the wizarding world, so you see wizards, you know, with a wand in one hand and their cell phone in the other. Kind of like in the opening scene of the first movie, when you're seeing that wizard when Harry first goes into the leaky cauldron, when the wizard is just idly stirring his finger and using wandless magic, which is supposed to be hard, reading a book on quantum physics.
Yes, he's reading a book on quantum physics.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I want to know that guy's story.
Yeah. Everybody does. Like, I've seen several posts about I want to know him. I want to have a drink with him. I want to know all about him.
We want this wizard. We want him more than everybody else.
Yes. So, JK, write that freaking story.
So just seeing that kind of fan fiction is, you know, for it, I was like, I like this idea. Make it happen.
Yeah.
So let's have Del Toro do that movie.
Okay.
Speaking of great Harry Potter fan fiction, you have, of course, heard of Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality.
Yes.
I actually haven't.
Have you read it, Paul? I'm like halfway through it.
I haven't read it. I've seen a fair bit about it, but I haven't read it yet.
So it's basically Harry is raised by Aunt Petunia and another character, like random guy named Michael Evans, and he is a total nerd, like just science fiction fantasy, studying science. He's a boy genius. And then he gets his owl. It's like, congratulations, you're a wizard. He's like, excuse me, magic is physically impossible. And then he goes to Hogwarts and he's like, oh my god. And he's bringing in scientific study and research into magic. And he's teaching Draco Malfoy about genetics and how your purebloods are not actually superior. And he's like blowing Draco's mind. And it's amazing. And like solves all the problems of the books in like 4 years instead of seven or something like that. I haven't gotten to that part that part yet, but
wow.
I like that.
That's good.
It's great and it's very well written.
Excellent.
I love the internet sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes it's good. I will say, like, not to be political, but just because I'm finding it funny.
Yeah.
So with the release of Nike's new branding,
the Colin Kaepernick ad,
Colin Kaepernick stuff. So the first one to be released was the image of Colin Kaepernick, black and white, with the "just do it," that whole quote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you believe in something, sacrifice everything, all that.
Yes.
I am now on a hunt for all the memes that have sprung up from there.
There's been I have literally seen today a dozen different ones, because I saw a President Trump one. I saw the Thanos one.
I have over 70.
Holy crap.
People, this is 70 memes of almost the same damn thing in 2 days. It's too much. Right. I will say, my personal favorites were Robert Baratheon, just sacrifice everything, Thanos, sacrifice half of everything.
Yes.
Those are my two personal favorites, apart from Mike Myers, just kill everything.
Yeah. You gotta put Tumblr. You need to launch a Tumblr just with these.
Yeah. I will say, if I was good at creating memes, I would create it. So anyone who's listening, if you can create this for me, please do it. I want Hannibal Lecter. Just eat everyone. Just do it. Or just eat it. Something like that. That's what I want.
Sacrifice everyone and have them for dinner.
Yes. Something along these lines. So
fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm enjoying those. I am specifically hunting for, you know, ones that are of fantasy characters. So Baratheon, Thanos, those types.
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one, but this is one I thought of. So someone else has probably already made it. I want Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
With the little baggies of dust representing everyone who died in the Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just snort everyone.
Oh, Lordy.
That's my spiel right there. That's my ranting. I'm done ranting. Good luck.
Wow. This episode has definitely taken a turn I did not expect. But interesting nonetheless.
What happens to give us free reign?
Absolutely.
by the way. Free reign, precious. They let me out, precious.
So I've decided to enhance my audiobook reading by adding poetry into the mix. So going nonfiction, fiction, poetry. I went and did Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman last week. And oh my God, oh, nice. I fell in love. I can't believe it's taken me this long to read all of Leaves of Grass. But I started working on an epic poem that in the style of Whitman that I'm about 75% done with now. I got to finish though.
Nice.
But so then I decided to follow up with another epic poetry collection. Canterbury Tales.
Oh God! Yes. Good luck.
I got a third of the way through it, and I had to tap out. I still have it on my phone, but I cut out and I read a book on minor league baseball. Then I went back and got to the halfway point, and I cut out again. And now I'm reading Moneyball. But
that's how I feel about 1001 Arabian Nights. I've literally never been able to read that entire collection. I've tried several different translations, editions, the annotated version. I've tried. I can't.
I know. Well, I mean, so whenever I understand that, because when I was in high school, I was the only person in my English class occasionally who understood and enjoyed Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
So people be like, what the hell is he saying? And I would translate because I
barely
get it, you know. But I find that the best time I ever had watching a Shakespeare, people understanding Shakespeare, I can't remember what, they did Romeo and Juliet, completely regular Shakespearean language, set in the 1980s New York.
Ooh.
Okay.
Everyone in my class understood everything that they said. Same language, modern different ideas. Setting.
Yeah. Well, I much prefer what they did with Taming of the Shrew. Turning into 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And then they made the TV show off of it, too, where they kept one of the actors the same and switched it around. Yeah, that movie just actually did an excellent job. And only one scene in it, dude, they keep the actual Shakespearean language, and it was kind of mocking it. Mm-hmm. But it was great because it also mocked all the teen movies to that time. And then not another teen movie went and mocked a scene. And I'm like, no, you're mocking a scene. You're a fake teen movie mocking a scene in a fake teen movie based off a Shakespeare play. Stop it! No!
Inception, teen movie style.
Oh, lordy.
Okay. So this is chapter 42 of the PubSheet podcast. September 2018, we're doing a round robin episode where we don't really have any one particular topic. We did have a guest lined up, but unfortunately, I was not able to get the interview done before it was post time because we had the National Book Festival this past weekend and everyone at the library was pretty busy. Plus, we just did a rollout of a redesign of the library's logo and central design, and that's been pretty divisive. As an employee of the Library of Congress, I absolutely stand behind the library's decision and think it's a wonderful logo.
He's rolling his eyes, listening audience.
Yes. Keith may be an employee. The two of us are in no way, shape, or form.
Yes.
So we can say whatever we want.
True.
Kind of the way Jeff Dunham does that with his puppets about his divorce to his first wife.
Haven't kept up with Jeff Dunham, so I didn't know that, but okay.
Walter says many, many horrible things about Jeff's first wife.
Oh, yeah. And he gets away with it because it's the puppet. It's not him. It's the puppet.
Exactly.
You're the puppet.
I think the first one was, and you're still paying for that, aren't you, Chachi? Legally, I can't comment on that. Keep telling jokes, puppet boy.
Okay. So yeah, so we're going to have a wide-ranging discussion here of a few different topics. There is one thing that I had come to mind that I want to bring up, and Rana, it's never come up, but first, let's take a quick commercial break. Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS Tournament Podcast Network are eligible to get a free month on Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/AS21 and sign up today. Get your first month for free, which means you get your first audiobook for free, and once you download it, it is yours forever. Stick with the service or not, you will always have that audiobook by your side. Choose from over 180,000 titles. Like I said, I've been reading The Canterbury Tales, and when I'm not doing that, I'm rereading Moneyball by Michael Lewis. Recently, I also got through A Partly Cloudy Patriot by Sarah Vowell. I've been spending a lot of time on baseball, so that means I've been reading books with baseball focus, so Where Nobody Knows Your Name, Life in the Minor Leagues by John Feinstein, and also Northanger Abbey by Jane Austen, which is the first reference to baseball in any fiction work written. It was her first novel that she wrote in 1803, but it was the last one of hers published in 1818, and in the very first paragraph, the very first chapter, she references how her main character likes to play a bit of baseball. And without any explanation, for 1803 must mean that people knew what it was. So take that, anyone who believes Abner Doubleday created the game in 1839. Jane Austen beat you by 36 years. Sign up today at audibletrial.com/AS21. Ron or Paul, have either of you been checking out any audiobooks lately?
Yeah, I've actually been listening to a book on the Black Death.
Oh.
It's literally called The Black Death.
Okay.
So if there's one disease I enjoy studying, it's that one.
Okay.
Mainly because anything that travels from Asia via Mongolian army through siege to then kill a third of Europe works for me.
Yeah, it's pretty effective military strategy there.
Oh yeah. And if you're listening, just fun fact, the AIDS HIV virus is a possible descendant of the bubonic Black Death Plague. So,
wow.
Enjoy that tidbit.
I'll try not to, but okay. Ron, have you been listening to anything?
No, I haven't been listening to anything. I've been listening to books. I feel like every time we have this discussion, I always feel bad. Like, oh no, I'm not reading any books. I feel so not literary. But like, lately, I've been watching videos by this channel called The Future, which talks about the business of design and the design of business. And it's got some really interesting interviews with professional designers and like talks about, you know, how to be successful at the thing that you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And it's really motivating.
All right, well, sign up today, audibletrial.com/AS21. You get your first audiobook for free. Stick with the service or not, you can have thousands of great titles to choose from. And who knows, there might be something on there that will catch your interest. So check it out today, audibletrial.com/AS21. This podcast is also brought to you by The Interlude, the Sentimental Me stage play, adapted from the poetry of AS21 creator Michael B. Judkins. It is reaching the stage at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on September 15th and 22nd. Get your tickets starting at $15 for discounts for seniors and children, or get the special VIP package for $75. You get two tickets to either performance and then dinner after the show. So check it out, Interlude, the Sentimental Me at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, September 15th and 22nd at 3 p.m. Get your tickets on Eventbrite or visit as21.com/creative/Judkins and click on the link. So this is chapter 42 of the Publish Me podcast now in Round Robin. Now we had a couple ideas to discuss, and Rana had an interesting one. So Rana, go ahead.
Okay, so something that's been on my mind lately since I started watching the videos on the design of business, and I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit here. And I hope I'm not like too like angry and bitter, but so I want to talk to you guys about pricing book cover design, because I've had a couple conversations with people like at conventions and festivals, and I tell them I'm an artist, and they're like, "Oh, how much do you charge for book cover?" And I'll give them a number or like a range, and like I'll preface that with, you know, like here's an explanation of, you know, how the timeline works and, you know, what the process entails, because like some people haven't done book cover design before, like, and no matter what price I give them, high or low, like they either like glare at me or they like clutch their chest like they're about to have a heart attack, like I just said $1 million, and I'm like, people don't seem to know how much book cover design actually costs. And it kind of like, I kind of want to educate people about it, but like not in like a mean way. So
I can say it. So I have seen this a lot, and unfortunately, I've done it too often. Where I haven't made the arguments, but I've seen a lot of cases of people who get propositioned, as it were, and they said, "Well, why don't you just do it for experience and exposure?" In other words, you do this incredibly hard work for me, and I'll hope and pray, thoughts and prayers, that it will make you look good. But I can't actually pay you.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I saw this one where it's like, all right, cool. You, what do you do for a living? You're a plumber? Great. I'll do this for you. Cool. You go fix my broken plumbing in my building, and thoughts and prayers that it'll give you some good exposure on that one. How about that?
You can put up a sign out front, plumbing done by Steve. Right. And see if I get you business.
Okay. So.
Yeah. Sorry.
The exchange of services for other services is a thing, and it is a viable payment system.
Yes.
But my opinion is that people are so used to paying $10 for a comic book or $15 for a movie ticket that they don't understand that it costs thousands or millions of dollars to make the thing that they are now buying.
Right.
And I have sort of a metaphor for you guys if you want to like follow me on this journey. So, Paul, you spent the better part of a year saving up money for a car, and you bought a brand new car for $15,000. So you've had this car for a little while, and it starts to make scary noises, and you can't go faster than 25 miles an hour. So you need a repair guy. So you drive to your nearest repair shop. It's like a reputable mechanic shop. The guy goes, "I know what's wrong with the car. It'll cost you $10,000 to fix it." What is your response?
No. I'll buy a new damn car.
That's a reasonable response. So you're like, no thanks, but you still need, you don't want to buy a new car because like maybe the thing that needs repairing, you know, doesn't actually cost $10,000. So maybe you go to a different mechanic, and the mechanic's like, "Okay, I know exactly what's wrong with your car. It'll cost you $1,500 to fix it."
That's a price difference right there, and I want to know why.
Yes.
So it's totally reasonable to like hear $10,000, be like, "What? No, buy $1,500. That's like 10% of the price you paid for the car to begin with." Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, based on what the guys tell you about what needs to be repaired, like you kind of know, like, okay. And because you've maybe bought a car before, you kind of know, like, okay, that's a little pricey, but you know, it's a decent, it's a good repair.
Right.
It's a reputable shop. But in this scenario, Paul, instead of going, okay, $1,500, you're like, what? No, you should fix my car for free just because you love being a mechanic. You should do it for love of the craft, man.
Right. Oh, boy.
It's like, the mechanic's like, you're right, I do love being a mechanic, but, you know, this is my business, this is my livelihood,
yeah.
And based on the skills and experience I have in repairing cars and the fact that I have the tools required and I know how to use the tools required to fix what's wrong with your car, $1,500, please.
Yeah. I also love eating and, you know, paying my bills, too.
Yeah, but again, Paul, you're very obstinate. You're like, no, dude, I got a friend in South Carolina who owns a motorcycle dealership. He'll fix my car for $50. Like, screw you. And, like, maybe your friend in South Carolina can fix your car, but first you have to get your car to South Carolina. And mm-hmm. He's a motorcycle guy. He's not a car guy. So he fixes your car with duct tape and, like, Elmer's glue. So it kind of drives. It's not exactly what you wanted, right?
Right. And to expand upon that, it might damage the car even more.
Exactly. So, like, I'm about to blow your mind because the car that I'm talking about is actually the book you just wrote. Whoa. Oh. And the mechanic is your book cover artist or book cover designer.
Yep.
Right? So, some designers charge a lot of money for book cover design, some don't. And the amount that a designer charges for the book cover kind of depends on who is writing the book, who's publishing the book, like if it's at a huge publishing house or if it's like a tiny independent publisher, or it kind of depends on the skill and experience level of the designer. It depends on where you're living in the world, like, you know, what the cost of living is in the state that you're in. A couple other factors go into that, but I don't know all the factors and I don't have time to expand upon this.
Right.
However, I do have sitting in front of me a copy of the Graphic Artists Guild's Handbook of Pricing and Ethical Guidelines. Okay. A huge book. It's like the size of a phone book. And it is a book for artists and creatives. It kind of explains, you know, legal stuff like copyrights and businesses, corporations versus LLCs. And it has like charts and graphs of average prices for design and artwork, like everything from book cover design to animation to web design. And this data is based on interviews that the Graphic Arts Guild did with like 3,000 different artists in 2017. This is the 2017 version. And so looking at this book, I can tell you guys, or what? How about we play the Price is Right?
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
So how much do you think it costs? What is the average price for a mass market paperback book cover design?
So this is just, so hypothetically, this is what you would be paid to create any book cover for any mass produced paperback copy. Now, correct. My one question is, does this give you an idea on how many copies that this thing would be potentially expected to sell? Like, this is for your average mass market one of 10,000 copies sold, 25,000 copies sold, 100,000 copies sold. Does it provide you with that kind of expectation or no?
So this flat fee major publishing house book cover for a mass market paperback.
Okay. Keith, why don't you go first?
Well, okay. We're doing Price is Right rules, so yeah. Closest to the amount without going over.
Right.
Yes.
I'll let Paul say $1. I'll go with $1,000.
I'm not going to go with one. I'm not going to go with $1. I'll go with $450.
All right. So Keith hit the nail on the head. According to this book, they provide a range: low end $1,000, high end $2,800. So, but if you're, that's like a basic typographic design, with just like words and like some graphic design elements.
Well, considering I run a low end publishing house, yes, I do know the low end price.
He has some idea.
Yes.
He has some idea. Okay. For our listening audience, maybe they don't have an idea. Okay. How about book cover illustration a mass market paperback?
Okay. So that was, so the previous one was just a concept idea.
The previous one was like a graphic design that involves like typography and like a sort of basic layout. Okay. But cover illustration is like, you know, a full-on rendered drawing.
Okay, okay. So if our last one was 1,000 to 28, let's go 2,000 to 3,500.
Okay.
$5,000.
All right. So you guys are actually really, really close. 2,500 to 5,000.
Right.
Again, that's for like a major publishing house, right, like Penguin Random House.
Okay.
So our listening audience, who might be like into like small independent book authors, who are trying to self-publish, like maybe they're like clutching their chest, like they're about to have a heart attack. Like, I can't spend $2,500 on a book cover. That's ridiculous. Like, nobody's really expecting you to, listening audience. Expecting $50 for a book cover, that's really, really low.
Yeah.
Well, the problem these days is that I'm sick and tired of all the different writing groups I've been on Facebook. The number of design your own cover art for $10. Because that's one of the things that definitely is misleading. Like for $10, I could do it myself. I'll pay you $20 because that's reasonable.
Yeah, seriously. People do judge a book by its cover.
Yeah.
Sesame Street lied to you.
Oh, yeah.
People do judge a book by its cover. And if your book cover is not designed by a professional, if it's like the images on it are pixelated, or if it looks like it was designed by a person who's not a designer, you know, people are gonna comment. And like, if you want to be a professional book author and you want to, you know, make a living selling your books and you want to get your books bought by a major publishing house, it would behoove you to have a good cover design to entice readers to read your book. If you don't have $2,500 to spend, that's okay. If you go out and find yourself a book cover designer or an illustrator, have sort of a budget in mind and talk to the designer. If you can't afford to pay like $500 up front for a book cover design, there are things you can do to sort of lower that price. Number one, instead of paying $500 to own the image and do whatever you want with it, you can purchase the image for limited use, which means you're basically renting the image that's going on the front of your book for like a year or 5 years, or maybe like you can only use it as the book cover. You can't put the image on t-shirts or whatnot.
Right.
That will lower the price. Or you could discuss with your artist royalty fees, or like giving the artist a percentage of every book sold. Basically, there are things you can do, but you know, artists are not just, you know, layabouts who just sit around and draw something on a piece of paper whenever they feel like it. Like, we are craftspeople. We study and we practice and we hone our skills. Art is something that you do study. You don't just, you know, close your eyes and, you know, think something out of thin air.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there are artists that are exceptionally talented. I consider Rana an exceptionally talented artist.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not just saying that because, you're here right now. But that still doesn't mean there is an effort involved. I mean, there's talent, yes, and there are some things I can do that I get paid for, that I have a talent for, that are somewhat effortless, but that still doesn't mean you shouldn't reward the talent.
And even if it takes me 5 minutes to draw something for you, like, it took me 8 years of practice and experience. You're paying for expertise.
Well, yeah, like, here with us through ePress 21, we take on podcaster contracts to help people edit their podcasts. It may take us no time at all to edit their podcast, but it took us years of training to learn how to do that audio editing and to learn how to do equalizers and, you know, noise distribution and noise removal and, you know, all the little tricks to try to make your audio that was probably recorded on your phone in a bathroom sound like it's in something actually listenable.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to get off my soapbox now, but that was my spiel on, you know, book cover art, you know, why it costs actual money and why you should pay actual money to a designer.
Pay people what they deserve to be paid. Reward talent when you find it. And if you want to have somebody make something for you, that's...
Make your book cover.
Yeah.
Worthwhile.
Make something worthwhile. Do it. Yeah.
So, yeah, thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
And speaking of, you did mention putting a book cover on a t-shirt.
Oh. Segway!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the soft launch of the AS21 merchandise on TeePublic. Visit teepublic.com/stores/AS21-market and you'll find not only AS21 brand t-shirts, but also Publish Me t-shirts and various other items with the Publish Me logo and more to come. We so far have rolled out just some of our basic stuff from AS21 and some of our podcast series. Because of licensed agreements on book cover art, we can't just take book covers and start putting them on t-shirts. We need the permission of the author. We need the permission of the artist in some cases. So we are working to do that. If you have ideas for anything from any AS21 podcast book or otherwise that you'd like to see on a t-shirt, a phone case, a laptop cover, a mug, or a sticker, those things are all available to us now at TeePublic, and we are happy to set it up for you. If there's a market for something to be sold, we're going to try to get out there. You should see the Two Girls, One Joint t-shirts. Those look fabulous. Seriously, I mean, knowing the audience for that podcast, you know people are going to buy those t-shirts. So we were talking about it before we went on air. We're going to actually work on getting some different Publish Me t-shirts, and we're working with Rhonda to create some new designs for either promoting our books or AS21 services or anything, because like I said, Rhonda is awesome.
Yay!
I actually just had this thought.
Oh, please.
Car decals.
Ooh.
Okay.
So, you know, I could put, you know, the cover art of Magi next to the image for Publish Me on, like, the sides of my car.
Okay.
As, you know, mobile advertising.
See, that's not something TeePublic has right now, but you can do that through Vistaprint, because I actually have AS21 magnets on the side of my car.
Okay. Yep.
But what they do have, it's t-shirts, baseball shirts, tank tops, kids' clothing.
Mugs, laptop covers.
Phone cases, stickers, wall art, tapestries. You can have the tapestry!
I want the Magi cover as a tapestry. I am going to work on that one.
Well, all I need is a high quality image of the cover art and the permission of the author and artist, and we can make that as a tapestry that you could have hanging from your wall.
Woo!
I now need to make wall space in my apartment. I just put up 3 new bookcases. Damn it!
No. You draped the tapestry over the bookcase. Come on.
You can't see the books. I'll put it on the ceiling.
That works too.
This works.
All right. So we will make that happen. Okay. So all right. Look out for the Will of the Magi art, cover art as a tapestry. We will make that happen. And then Indiana Jones will come to inspect the tapestries.
I have big snakes. I have lots of big snakes.
Okay.
And not just rubber hose.
All right. Okay. Now, Paul, did you have anything you wanted to discuss this month?
We're editing Magi. I'm working on other writing projects.
Well, I saw you were sharing some short story contests on your Facebook page.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get daily updates from, I think, 12 different blogs and those type of things for writing contests. So I made a quick thing on my Facebook page. Like, I took like a 10 or whatever the links I had for like journals that are accepting other contests that don't have required fees, all these other kinds of things, including our final run of the AOIS 21 annual that is, we are open until the 15th of September for submissions. So if you're listening, get something written, get something created, and get it submitted, and we'll see what happens to your stuff. So yeah, I just, you know, I'm always looking at contests and trying to find the time to create something for them.
See, and I didn't even have to prod Paul to say that. I was going to use that to segue to say, and submissions have been extended for the 2018 AS21 annual until September 15th. We're looking for short stories, poetry, essays, excerpts, art, photography, and more. Visit AS21.com/annual for rules of submission and to submit today. Yeah, go to Paul's Facebook page. That's Paul Dickinson Russell. And he shares that stuff there. He shares stuff about the podcast. He shares writing prompts. You share all kinds of fun stuff up there.
Yeah, the thing I don't really share there is anything political or anything that is really divisive one way or another on a debate. Because
yeah,
political debates, I will accept, is the reason why Sauron was in the right.
Okay.
I haven't done that one,
mm-hmm.
and I won't be, but that's it. If it's politics from a fake world, it's okay.
Okay.
If it's fake news from this world, it's not okay.
Okay. But meanwhile, I've got several guests lined up that want to be on the show, and hopefully we'll find time.
Yes.
So that includes, hopefully we'll soon have on Catherine Rowland from the Copyright Office, the head of Copyright Public Information and Enforcement. We're going to have a crossover episode with the host of the Right On podcast. That's Meredith Eaton. She just changed her name. She was Meredith Massett. She's the publisher of Possibilities Publishing, another independent publishing mm-hmm. house here in Northern Virginia that I've worked with a lot. And so they launched their first podcast in the spring, and we were planning on doing a crossover episode with them. So it would be a case of they come on ours and discuss the topic, then we go on theirs and discuss their topic.
Ooh.
Then we have an author who is actually a submitter to a previous AS21 annual who would like to come on to discuss his self-published book. So we're looking to have that person on in the next few months. So we have a lot of stuff we're still going to cover. Obviously, we have quite a few more chapters of Will of the Magi to get through before it's released. Our goal was by the end of 2018. It is now September 2018. So fingers crossed. We're working on it.
Is it taking longer to edit the book than it did to write it, Paul?
No.
Not yet. It better not. I need this book out. You need this book, and that we all need this book out.
Unless it never gets published, we just make this podcast for the rest of forever.
Oh, well, no. If it never gets published, then we got to keep people their money back.
It's the podcast that never ends.
This is the podcast that never ends. No, that goes on and on.
That's literally this week. My weekly podcast.
Started so writing, not knowing what would end.
Paul, please stop. I get enough silly songs stuck in my head each day. And yeah. So this has been Chapter 42 of the Publish Me Podcast, a Round Robin episode. Be sure to check out other great podcasts from the AS21 Podcast Network. Guys, what do you guys have coming up for the month of September?
I'm possibly doing Baltimore Comic Con. I have no idea. I don't really have any plans for September. I am working steadily on illustrations for that board game, what I'm drawing stuff for. Nice. So that's all I got.
Okay.
Working on my various projects. That's it. Keep on working on those things. I finally have my easel set up, so now I can start covering my walls with notes.
Okay.
Yay.
AS21, we're taking a bit of a break from all of our events we've been having. The monthly events are canceled for this month on First Friday, which is tonight, the 7th. We don't have game night at Walls of Books because Walls of Books is actually closed as Pablo Sierra and Karen Cooker are getting married this evening.
Woo!
You know, they were guests on the podcast many, many months ago talking about bookstore events. They've been going through the long process and finally are tying the knot. So congratulations, Pablo and Karen. We wish you all the best. In light of that, First Friday was canceled, and we also have canceled our poetry open mic for mid-September. Everything will be back in October. When you next reach us, it'll be Sunday, October 7th. On that Friday night will be First Friday at Walls of Books with Literary Game Night. And that weekend is also the Western Maryland Independent Literature Festival at Frostburg State University in Frostburg, Maryland. We had to skip it last year because it was the same day as the Fall for the Book Festival at George Mason University. But they're separated again this year, so we're going back to Frostburg. That's a great festival. It's just publishers. It's just they fill the theater at the Center for Literary Arts in Frostburg with just tables, with just publishers. They come from all over Western Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Maryland, Northern Virginia. We're all there with different books, different concepts, different ideas that we're sharing. So it's a great place to come if you're an author. It's a great place to come to find publishers that might want to talk to you. There are literary magazines there. There's specialty things like that to come check out. So that's Friday and Saturday, October 5th and 6th at the Center for Literary Arts at Frostburg State University in downtown Frostburg, Maryland. After the next podcast, we have then... October is just chock full of events because we have the Fall for the Book Festival the following weekend. That's Saturday, October 13th at the George Mason University campus. We'll be there for the book fair. That whole week will be the Fall for the Book Festival. I'm trying to remember who the authors for this year. I think they had one canceled. Also, it's the Walk to End Alzheimer's on the National Mall on Saturday the 13th. We won't be able to take part this year because of the Fall for the Book. Then, following that up, we've got Friday, October 19th, is going to be the official release party for the 2018 AS21 Annual, so your chance to come out and listen to performances of some of the works from the annual, and well, there'll be food and drink and merriment, so all a good time. Then, Saturday, October 27th, is the Blue Ridge Writers Festival in Charlottesville, Virginia. Last year it was known as the Charlottesville Book Fair. It's the full sponsorship from the Blue Ridge Club of the Virginia Writers Club. So they will be a day of authors, illustrators, musicians, all kinds of things at City Space in downtown Charlottesville. We went last year, had a great time. Carolyn O'Neill is organizing the event once again. She's been on the podcast twice now, once talking about her book and her crowdfunding campaign, and then again to talk about the actual planning of the festival last year and some ideas. So just a few months back, she was on to talk about planning for this year. And obviously, you could tell that some of our suggestions she took to heart as the name of the festival has changed because of the increased sponsorship that she was able to get. But that's Saturday, October 27th. So that's a lot coming up in October, and we'll be talking about it more next month, and hopefully we'll have one of those wonderful guests with us as well. So thank you for listening. This has been Chapter 42 of the Publish Me Podcast, a round robin episode. You can find us on Podomatic, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, how they like to call it, Google Play, Spotify, and tune in and wherever else you get your podcasts. You can reach out to us on Facebook, facebook.com/publishpodcast, on Twitter at publishpodcast, or email publishpodcast@as21.com. For AS21 Media and the Publishing Podcast, I am Keith F. Shovlin.
I'm Rana Gaynor.
And as always, I am Paul Dickinson Russell. Remember, where there are thoughts and ideas, there are stories. We'll see you next month.
Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?